Thank you for joining us for this message. Whether you are watching for the first time or are simply catching up on a message you missed, we are so glad you are connecting to God's Word today. Our hope is that as you listen to the message, you will experience a real encounter with God. Please consider giving financially to support God's work through our ministry. You will find several options to do that by clicking on the word give in the menu on our website at kentwoodcommunitychurch.com. May you be inspired by the word today.
We're going to jump right into the word, so I'm going to ask you to stand out of respect. If you're online, I'm asking you to stand at home. That's right. Even if you're in your bed, get out of your bed. I know it's comfy. But out of respect for God's word, I want to have us read a couple of verses. We're in the middle, we're at the end of the series. The battle is on, and we'll conclude today. We're in 1 Peter 5. We're going to read verses 8 and 9. You can probably have that on your KCC app, or you can follow along in your Bible. Hear the word of the Lord. It says, stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Stand firm against him. And be strong in your faith. Remember that your family of believers all around the world is going through the same kind of suffering as you. Let's pray. And I'm asking today, Lord, that the words of my mouth, meditations of our hearts, would be pleasing in your sight. And as the prophet Samuel prayed, we pray now, speak, Lord, for your servants are listening. And all God's people said, amen. You can have a seat at home and you can have a seat here in the parking lot. A couple of notes I want to give to you before I jump into today's sermon. The first thing that I want to make clear to us, it's worth, we have to keep repeating it over and over again. We are in the near future, continue to meet in the parking lot. And it's at 10 o'clock, not 11, and not at 9, 10 o'clock, one service. And could you help me out with that? I need your help. Continue to pass the words. People that may have been out and about know we are at 10 o'clock. And we will continue to do this. The only way we won't is on Saturdays. If we know that we're going to have rain on Sunday, obviously with cameras, etc., we will have to go inside. And those who feel comfortable can come inside. The rest of you can watch online. So just wanted to make sure that people understand this is really where we're at for the next little bit. The second thing that I would say to you is that we as a church and a church leadership, we are dealing with our current world's reality. And what do I mean by that? In other words, what we're doing right here today is that we've basically been in survival mode for the last 6 months and providing different things. Now, you've heard me say over and over again, we must adapt, but the mission must stay the same. So I'm here to tell you that, and I'm giving you a sneak preview today, that our team is working diligently to unfold. I will start unfolding in the next couple of weeks where we're headed and what the next season looks like. Let me make it clear to us today. We are not in a winter storm. We are in a season that we must adapt. So we're not just trying to survive. We are adapting what church looks like. How many of you play chess? Anybody play chess? Raise your hands online. Can I see you? All right. I don't know a lot about chess, but the one thing I do know is the queen's the most powerful. She can do every move on the board. Am I right? Yes or no? Well, I'm here to tell you today, some have said this, and I agree with it, is that when we had this virus hit, the queen for the church was the Sunday morning experience as we understood it. And God took the queen away and says, I want you to use the pawn and the rook and the castle. I want you to be the church in a different way. And I know you may grumble and you may not like it, but nonetheless, the mission stays the same. So we are staying committed as a church to figure out what that looks like. Understanding that the word that I will use is a hybrid, meaning that for those that don't feel comfortable, we are creating a new online experience. And you will see an KCC online church actually occurring where you can engage in ways over the next weeks. We are in the middle of doing that. But for those who feel comfortable on site, we are also providing an ability to meet. There's two things I've told our team we got to do. Number one is we got to figure out how to care for our KCCers. And I'm going to share in the next couple of weeks what that looks like and how that's going to be arranged and organized so that we can continue to be the church in Jesus' name. And also to care for our community, number two, to reach out to our community. We are committed to seeing. We know already by statistics speaking, and you can even see by our drive-in service and the decline in it. It said the statistics, Barna tells us that 1/3 of the church across of America during Corona is no longer engaged with the church. 1/3, over 30%. Aren't watching online, aren't engaging it. So it will be our mandate as a church that we will engage a community that desperately needs the message of Jesus Christ. Can somebody say amen? Are you with me? Give me a honk. So here we are, moving out. We are caring, and we are reaching out. And I believe the things that we're talking about, you will be very, very excited about. They're kind of out of the box. Does that surprise you? It will be not what we are used to, but nonetheless, we are organizing those out. I'm very tempted to share some examples, but then I will get shot by my team because they haven't gotten organized yet, and they're saying, you're always talking ahead of us. Would you just be patient? So I will be. I'll give them a couple more weeks, and in a couple more weeks, we will be able to begin that. Now, what I want you to do is commit to pray. Would you pray for us as we begin to figure out what KCC looks like in the next year? Because we may be like this for a year. If we're not, praise the Lord. But if we are, we won't continue just to do what we're doing. We will adapt and be a church that figures out how to be the church in the middle of this. Can I get an amen? All right, I wanted to give you that as a kind of a heads up and a prayer request as we move forward. I want to finish out this series, what we've entitled, The Battle is On. We've said that our battle is not against flesh and blood. Amen? We said our battle is against our flesh. Anybody understand what that means? Have you ever been able to echo Paul in Romans 7? It says, every time I want to do good, I end up doing bad. Who's been there, done that? We also know our battles against the world system. Pastor Michael preached about the name of Jesus. You lift up the name of Jesus in the system in which we live in, watch the demonic come out. We also know that our battle is against the demonic forces and Satan himself. We know that we need to raise up, as I review, warfare prayer and engaging as a church. And then last week, Debbie gave us the exegetical passage of Ephesians 6, how we have to put on the full armor of God. And I read this scripture to you. And if you've been in the church, you know all about it. It describes who the devil is. He says in another version, be sober, 1 Peter 5. Be sober, because if you're drunk, you ain't going to know what's going on. Be aware, because your adversary, you know who he is. The devil, the great enemy. He's roaming like a roaring lion, looking for somebody to devour. I was on a safari in Africa a few years ago. We rode up to two massive lions, and we drove up, and we all did what you do. You start taking photos in this open Jeep, and as these things were massive, and as we were taking photos, out of the blue, because they were asleep, these two huge creatures wake up, raise up, put out their roar, and I tell you, every single one of us did a uh-oh moment. It was the most fearful I'd ever been in a matter of a few seconds I'd ever been in my life. And I'm here to tell you that any of us who've experienced a lion in the wilderness understands this passage, that the devil's going around and he's roaring, but he's not got the power of a lion. He doesn't have the authority over the believer. The problem is that we give him authority. We let him beat us up. We allow all these things to go in, and today we are looking at how we can be more than victors. Now, let me put it balanced with all of this as we bring this battle thing into conclusion. There must be a biblical balance, because depending on your personality, some of us will get all excited about the supernatural and we try to find a demon under every rock. You don't need to focus on demons. You need to focus on Jesus. Can I get an amen? But at the same time, we got to expose the demonic's works and understand what he is up to so that we can stand our ground. So there's a balance in all of this. We need to understand a biblical perspective today, my friends. And that is this. Satan was created. He's not one that is in a dualism with God. God has already won. It's not like we're watching a TV screen and wondering, who's going to win? Is Satan going to win? Is God going to win? We already know who won. Can somebody say amen? You sound pretty quiet for somebody that's been on the winning team. We know that he is omnipotent and he is all power. We know that he's omniscient and he knows all things. We know that he's omnipresent and he's in all places. And it's our challenge to know who God is so we can stand our ground. We need to understand who we belong to. Who do you belong to? Who has your life in his hands, according to John 10? Who do you belong to? Because scripture declares, greater is he than he was in the world. And the Holy Spirit is upon us to give us exactly what we need to be the men and women he's called us to be today. So once we know who we are, Debbie's sermon last week won't just be a sermon. You will take the full armor of God and stand your ground. You will begin to say enough is enough and draw a line in the sand and say, I'm not going to continue to live in defeat. I'm going to truly engage. Maybe you're at home today and you're trying to figure out how I'm going to deal with my next thing. Maybe it's more that I understand who the one who's called me will give me what I need. So today, here's what I want to do. I want to conclude the series by taking us back. 7 steps to freedom for your life. Neil Anderson's one of my mentors from afar, and he wrote some classic books on freedom in Christ. The one that I love is called Bondage Breaker, and I encourage you to go read it if you never have. But today, here's what I'm asking you to do. I'm going to go through the 7 steps of freedom because you need to be free today. You need to come from our mind into our hearts. God wants you to be free, Galatians 5:1. So I'm going to quickly explain those to you, and we're going to go from there. Here's why I'm doing that. What you need to understand is that we are always susceptible to strongholds. We are all susceptible to footholds in our lives. Scripture clearly tells us that. We need to understand what they are in order to take our stand. So number one step is simply this. You're welcome to follow along in my KCC app if you have it. Step number one is counterfeit versus real. Somebody say real. Say it again, real. I choose real today. Counterfeit is all around. What do I mean by counterfeit? Counterfeit is any activity you are in or involved with or subtly engaged with that denies the declaration that Jesus is from God is counterfeit. Counterfeit is any religious group that gives partial truths about the Bible but doesn't declare that Jesus is the Son of God is counterfeit. What you need to know that even in the church today, there are those who will try to seek for an experience more than they will loving God. In other words, there's nothing wrong wanting to see a sign and a wonder. There's nothing wrong with speaking in a tongue. There's nothing wrong with seeing healing. There's nothing wrong with seeing the power of God. But here's what I've experienced in my life. If you take those things and you elevate them above your relationship with Jesus Christ, there is one who will give you power. There is one who will give you counterfeit things that will give you then and bring you into a foothold and a stronghold. Understand the difference between counterfeit and real today. 1 John 5 says, God is light and there is no darkness in him at all. Maybe you're engaged with Ouija boards and you're saying it's all innocent. And I'm here to declare to you today, you are naively getting sucked into a stronghold and a foothold. Horoscopes. Looking at the stars when you need to be looking at Jesus. It is a doorway of stronghold in your life. It is counterfeit. Palm readers, psychics. There's only one who knows the future, and his name is Jesus. Can I get an amen? Everything else is a counterfeit, and strongholds will occur. Do you know that the early church, the Orthodox church, the Catholic church, in their confirmation and in their declarations, clearly denounced all counterfeit things? The Protestant church, we haven't been so good at it. But Jesus tells us in Luke 11, you're either for me or you are against me. He says, I am the way. He didn't make it a suggestion. He says, I am the truth. Truth is found in only one, my friends. And once we start to divert into other areas, it becomes a counterfeit in our lives. I'm here to declare to you today, you and I need to make a list and renounce anything in our lives and in our family lives that has been counterfeit. And you may not think it's affecting you. Well, step back. Are you struggling? Can you even read the Bible? Do you struggle in praying? These are things that are strongholds in our lives. And I'm here to declare to you today, we choose real over counterfeit. Can I get an amen? Number 2, deception versus truth. Somebody say truth. Somebody say truth. I choose truth today. Anybody else? I choose truth over deception, but we live. Remember the world system. We live in the middle of deception all around. John 8 says that we have an adversary who is the father of all lies. And we don't know what is right and we don't know what is wrong. We've got multimedia people sharing things and everybody thinks it's the gospel. We want to believe things that are simply not true and we live in deceptions. from what we see in Ephesians 6, that the enemy throws fiery arrows at us. And those are deception, and they are lies every single day. How did Jesus in Matthew 4 deal with deception? When Satan came to him and started quoting scripture, Jesus looked at him and he put it in context and he says, "It is written." Somebody say, "It is written." The way we defeat deception is with truth. How many of you today are living and deceiving yourself? I remember a guy named King David who was lying to himself, and his bones were wasting away in his own sin. And it wasn't until a prophet named Nathan came to him and told him what it was all about. And it was in that moment that David was freed, when he stopped believing deception and started to believe in truth. Are you willing to go there? Are you willing to see you the way God sees you? Psalm 139 says, "Search me, O God, and see my heart. See if there's any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting." You and I need to understand the spirit of truth is directly from God the Father. It's the only way we will fight the deception that is all around us, the lies that are engaged with us all over the place. You see, Jesus said that we have the decision to make. In Matthew 7, we have built our houses on sand. And in America, it's been easy for a long time. And it's been sun shining. And it's been a beautiful day. And we've been saying, "Praise the Lord, hallelujah." And the small deceptions have been rampant in the church. We have preached a gospel of consumerism. We have preached a gospel of feel-goodism. We haven't preached the full gospel of the cross of Christ and what it costs to mean to be a follower of Jesus. I apologize on behalf of all of those who have simply not told you the truth because they were afraid that you would be offended and you would go to another church. I'm here to declare to you today that we will preach the gospel of Jesus if I'm the last one on this semi-trailer. We will never back away from the truth of Jesus. Can I get an amen from somebody? Moral relativism is destroying us today, where we declare there is no absolute truth. So I can declare in my deception what I believe is reality. I can switch and go all over the place. I can believe this is right and this is right, and I create. That is a dangerous thing. Many years ago, an apologist said this: once we get to this point where there is no absolute truth in our society, first thing you'll see is that we'll see anarchy. Second thing you'll see is martial law, because what is wrong for me may not be wrong for you. We are headed down that road like nobody's business. And it was all, not only as a society, but that is what's happening in our own lives. And strongholds in our lives, because many of you are here today. When we sang Waymaker, many of you believe the deception that God's way is not for you. And God told me to stand up and tell you, this is for you. That's the truth. And we will keep declaring the truth. And you must keep declaring the truth in order to be free from strongholds. We need to know today that real will overshadow counterfeit. Truth will overshadow deception. I choose both of those. Number three, bitterness versus forgiveness. Can somebody say, let forgiveness flow? This issue, I choose forgiveness today. Forgiveness, bitterness, and unforgiveness is the greatest doorway for demonization in our lives. Remember, I don't use the word possession. I use the Greek word demonized. And we allow these doorways into our lives simply because we will not forgive. And we allow that bitterness and we allow that poison, probably in a size this big in this parking lot, and for all of you watching online, there's a good majority of us that struggle with this thing called forgiveness. Something happened in your life, even maybe recently, that is really, really tough. You didn't ask for it. You didn't cause it. But you are a victim of it. And the enemy has triumphed on that to create inside of you a spirit of bitterness, which opens up the doorway for strongholds and footholds in your life. And then you wonder why I can't pray. And you wonder why the Bible doesn't seem very good in my life. And I wonder why I continue to struggle. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, the moment you and I choose to forgive, guess what happens? We cut Satan's foothold in our lives. The moment we choose to forgive. Forgiveness is not saying what happened to me is right. Forgiveness says, I don't want you no longer to continue to be with me. I don't want to be a partner with you the rest of my life. And some of us here today need to understand this. Why did Jesus tell us in Matthew 18 when the disciples asked him, how many times do we got to forgive? And Jesus said, 70 times 7. Okay, do you mean that? So after 70 times 7, whatever that is, 491 or whatever times, now I can be bitter? No, it means that I forgive continuously so that I can be free. Now here's the reality about this stronghold, my friends. The only way you and I can choose forgiveness, don't believe we have the capacity inside ourselves. The only way we can choose forgiveness is if we've been forgiven ourselves. Here's my question to you online. Here's my question to you in the parking lot. You need to answer it for yourself. Nobody else but God and you knows. Have you been forgiven? Have you been forgiven? Because therein lies the ability for us to extend forgiveness. Let me illustrate it personally. I love my dad. He's 81 years old. Let's just say we've struggled in relationship. And throughout, I'm 53 years old. I remember writing him a letter in college at 21 years old, trying to extend forgiveness to him. And in that moment, I was freed from the bitterness that I held in my heart for all the things that he did not do as a dad. And I realized I was out preaching about forgiveness, and in my own life, anybody with me, I was harboring this bitterness inside, and a foothold and a stronghold was beginning to raise up. And I released it. Now, here's what I want to say to you. I wish I can tell you that at 21 years old, it was a one and done. Didn't work that way. It was the beginning. And every single day, I shouldn't say that, it's probably a hyperbole, but many times throughout the month, I have to choose, am I going to be bitter or am I going to forgive? I do not want to be held in any stronghold by any demonic force. Anybody with me? So I want to be free. And freedom is forgiveness. Can anybody say amen? Let me give you a couple more. Number four, if I'm going to break down strongholds, it's rebellion versus submission. Can somebody say submit? Oh, is that a cuss word or what? Somebody say submit. Now, let me say it again. We live in a day. I choose submission today. But I will tell you that when I can give you 100 examples up on this platform, how we live in a society right now where we don't submit to anything. I'm an American. How dare you tell me to do anything? Tell me to put on a mask and I'll come at you with a sword. Tell me to park in a certain spot in the parking lot and I'll give you a frown. We do not want anybody to tell us to do anything. Can I tell you what the Bible says about that? Well, I'm going to tell you anyways. Don't give me this, I was going to say a word that I'd probably have to repent later. I got enough repenting. I don't need to do it proactively. Hallelujah. Now I have no idea what I was going to say, but let me say this, is that we are all good about saying, I submit to Jesus. I submit to God. Here's what I'm trying to tell you. Once you start truly submitting to him, he will give you the capacity and ability to submit to those. And here's the other thing about the spirit of rebellion. We've been in rebellion since day one, have we not? And we only submit to those in whom we agree with. I'm sorry to tell you this, but that's not life. Doesn't work that way. Romans chapter 13. Y'all hate this verse, right? Pray for those in leadership over you and political leadership. How many of us are so good at trashing people we don't like rather than praying for them? I'm only being biblical. Now you go back and deal with Jesus yourself. Right? Because Hebrews 13 says those of us in leadership will give an account. What I'm trying to say is this spirit of rebellion will allow the enemy to have inroad in our lives. And eventually, we need to understand that rebellion starts in my heart. And it goes from my heart into my relationship with God. And then I only do what God wants. When I tell God, God, you got to do it this way. And if he doesn't do it my way, then I just kind of subtly. No, I don't get on a boat and run like Jonah. But I sure do kind of keep him out. And I keep the noise so loud that I don't want to hear that voice of the Holy Spirit that I know is going to tell me to do what I don't want to do. And it moves from that spirit of rebellion between me and God to my spirit of rebellion, to all my relationships. And it is time that we understand that we confess our rebellion today and submit humbly before our God and before one another. Submission does not mean you set up and get beat up. Submission does not mean that you still have the right to disagree. It's how you do it, my friends, with all due respect. Next, pride versus humility. Somebody say, if you don't want to say this, that's okay, because this is a dangerous one. Somebody repeat after me and say, you ready? Humble me, Lord. Oh, I knew that was going to be low. Who's all excited about being humbled by the Lord? That's a dangerous thing. I choose humility. Anybody else? Scripture clearly tells us when we understand, we know that Lucifer, it was his pride. Adam and Eve, it was their pride. Don't have time to go into all of those. We know that Philippians 3 says, I will not put any confidence in myself or in my flesh. And we need to understand there's consequences for the lack of humility. James chapter 4 says, God will oppose the proud. He will oppose them. And the antidote to this is simply what Jesus told us to do in Matthew 16. Pick up your cross, die to yourself, and follow me. To repeat our Lord and our Savior in the garden, not my will, but your will be done. May I become less, that you become more. May it become less about me. Marriage is a great example. As beautiful as marriage is, and I've been married nearly 30 years, it is a mirror of showing you your selfishness. Come on now, anybody know what I'm talking about? But we need to understand today that Jesus declares this pride thing, we all have it. Every single one of us. I mean, it's so crazy. I've seen Christians actually take pride in their humility. And we need to know this stronghold is deceptive and it holds on to us and it will stop us from growing and moving towards God. I declare today that I want to be humble before my God and humble before my fellow man. And it's only the woman and the man that is able to be radically secure in their father that will enable them to be humble before God and humble before people. Because humility is not weakness, my friends. Humility is strength. Humility knows what I know that I can celebrate somebody else's victory and I don't have to have the limelight. I don't have to puff up and let you know all my degrees and all of my accomplishments and all the people I've been. You've been around people that hobnob and tell you all the names that they've been with, and I'm kind of going, right? Anybody with me? I want to care for you, the person. I'm here to declare to you today that there's pride, and it will not allow us to grow. And it's just like forgiveness. Pride is not a one and done. It is a daily thing we have to put at the altar. And untapped, immediately it becomes a stronghold in our lives and it moves us down paths we simply don't want to go. Let me give you two more today. Number six, if we're going to have steps to freedom, bondage versus freedom. Can somebody say freedom? You can't say it like, what's his name, Mel Gibson in that movie when he cried out freedom. Come on, somebody say freedom. That is what this is all about. You have been chosen to be free. If you're watching at home today, I'm saying to you, stop living in bondage. It is now the time to be free. Take this million miles from my head to my heart and be free today. Jesus declares that I'm free, so let's be free. But you've been deceived in knowing that bondage is a normal experience for you. Maybe it's because of habitual sin. The crazy thing about bondage is this. We start believing our own lies. We start believing our own things. And some of us are here today, you want to be free from the bondage, whether it's addiction to porn, whether it's addiction to anger, whether it's addiction to greed, whether it's addiction to this or that. You have believed that. And if I said to you all today, you have the authority before you pull out of this parking lot, before you get your meal in your home, that you can be completely 100% free from that stronghold. Some of you would be so far into the bondage of fear that you would rather stay in the familiar which you know, the bondage, than the unfamiliar of the freedom that has been promised to you in Jesus Christ. And I'm here to make declarations to every single one of us, regardless of our age. You have been set free. It is for freedom that you've been set free, and it is time to choose that freedom. It is accessible. It is a gift from God Himself directly to you. Can somebody say amen? You need to understand that habitual sin brings us in to bondage. If you're involved with something you know you can't stop, that is a foothold. That is a strong net. That's a stronghold. That's a bondage in your life. It's time to call it out. James says, confess it and then pray for one another and then you will be healed. Let's practice the word and see what actually happens. What do you say? I'm here to declare to you today that we need to remove all the temptations from around us. I've said it to people that are addicted all the time. Are you desperate enough? Don't come to me whining, crying about your ability not to say no to whatever it is. And the whole entire time, you're not willing to do anything to actually be free from it. And sometimes God will allow you to go to the lowest of the low until you say, enough is enough. Don't go that far where you lose everything before you actually come and get freedom. You can have freedom today. In Jesus' name, choose freedom over bondage. Before Corona hit, I was going to have a ministry called Wellsprings of Ministry come in and train a variety of teams here at KCC. It's a deliverance ministry, walking with people that are in bondage, spending 3-hour sessions with them, helping them and coaching them with scripture and affirmations and prayer to allow people to be set free simply because they're in such strongholds and such demonization, they can't be freed themselves. So as brothers and sisters, we're showing them the authority they have in Christ to be able to see the lies and call it out. Well, we're going to do that. We will do that. We would already have started that, but we haven't been able, because of this moment in time in history, we haven't been able to have them in. But this is going to help us to see freedom amongst us. And let me just declare that this is all in Jesus' name. Let me give you the last one, and it's a good thing I can talk fast. I was calling my wife today. She's down seeing my daughter in Indianapolis, and she said, you're doing all 7? God have mercy on those people. And if you're looking live, my wife, look how fast I got done. Number 7, and finally, acquiescence versus renunciation. Those are fancy words, yeah? Acquiescence versus renunciation. To acquiesce simply means the reluctance of accepting something, to saying it's not connected to me. And what he's saying is this. The Bible's very clear in Exodus 20 that you and I are not responsible for the sins of our parents and people before us. But it's also very clear that the curses and the sin in which they were involved with, those spirits can be passed down generations. And when I acquiesce and say that doesn't exist, there may be things that you struggle with that you didn't even know you struggle with, and the why, because you've inherited those down the line. The good news is simply this. You and I have the authority to break those curses, to break those generational codes. What do you mean, Pastor Mick, about generational sins? We already know alcoholism passed down. The whole issue of sexuality and sex abuse passed down. Drugs passed down. Anger passed down. Lack of forgiveness passed down. I could go on and on and on. These curses affect us. You have the ability to stand, and I will renounce it. Renunciation. And say enough is enough. We know in the spiritual realm that the demonic will take those and try to influence us. We know that we can live in immoral atmospheres, grow up, that those things influence us. But we now need to draw a line in the sand and say to one another, whatever your past history is in your family lineage, from occultism to people engaged with the dark and the spiritism of the world, it's time to cut those things and renounce them in Jesus' name. Because if you are struggling and you don't even know why, this last point may be you. And Jesus is now saying, it's time to rise up. I'm exposing the devil for where he's at. Do you know that I had a little struggle this morning getting ready? A little struggle in my office, even had a physical attack. Sometimes I caution to say that because I don't want to freak you out. But I guess I just need to call it for what it is, because we live in a spirit world. And I knew exactly what was happening. I knew we were going to make this declaration today. And I'm asking you, if you truly are serious about your walk with faith, your walk with Christ, is this. You go to your MyKCC app. My notes are there. Whether it's in your small group, if you're in a small group, or it's in your family, and you actually walk through these again. and you take the time to say, which one of these? Because there's not a single one of us that's not tempted by one, or probably all of us, multiple ones of these. But we have the authority to stand. Do it together with other people. So the question of the hour is this. I didn't woo you and I didn't wow you. I didn't try to motivate you, get all excited and go out and crash and burn in a couple hours. I've given you tools and I've exposed the devil for who he is and his demonic forces. Now the question is simply yours. The question is, are you willing, able, and desiring to move forward and truly to be all you're supposed to be in Christ Jesus? Regardless of who you are, where you come from, and what you've experienced. And that is the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let me say clearly to you, if I did not believe what I just preached was true, then why am I on this platform? Because you were not just saved for heaven. Is that new news to some people? You were not just saved from hell, although those are true. You were saved by the power of the Holy Ghost to be what God intended you to be. And he's given you every tool you need to stand. And if you don't know about those tools, that's what we're trying to do. So in 2 weeks from today, August 30th, we're going to start a spiritual warfare class. And I want you to keep your eyes and ears open. We'll do it in a hybrid form. We'll do it on location and we'll do it Zooming for those that can't be in it at the same moment physically. Pastor Curtis would be telling you that announcement, but we need to pray for him because he's in Chicago today with his father who is facing death right in front of him at this moment. So we need to pray for our brother. So we are committed to giving you tools in your toolbox. How serious are you about this? It's going to tell in the next couple of minutes. For those of you who are serious, you'll go get the notes. You'll get into a group. You'll come to the spiritual warfare class. You'll figure out how you can be a victor in Jesus. For the rest of you, you'll walk away, go eat your lunch, and say, that was a good talk. And it'll go in one ear and out the other. I warn you from what James says. James tells us, anyone who listens to the word and doesn't do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in the mirror and immediately goes away and forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law and continues to do what it says is blessed in all that he does. Anybody want to be blessed today? I do. Anybody else? Can somebody say amen out there? Are you with me, church? I want to pray for you. And let me close with Galatians 5:1. I've already quoted it, but I'll say it again. It is for freedom that you have been set free. The battle is real, and the battle is on. But greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. We are more than conquerors through Christ. And if God is for us, who can be against us? May that not just be a declaration. May that be an experience in my heart today. The greater the obstacle, the greater the challenge, the greater the opportunity for our God to come through. Come near to God, my friends, and he'll come near to you. He's waiting with open arms. We're here to give you tools to put in your toolbox. Are you ready? Can I get an amen? I'm going to ask, if you will, to stand with me. If you're at home and online, I want to ask you to stand with me too. I want to have a closing prayer and then the benediction. If we were in the sanctuary, we'd already be having an altar call and laying on of hands and seeing people delivered. Can't really do that in this situation. But I am committed that we will give you what you need to be victorious beyond this day. I can't tell you what tomorrow holds and how challenging it will be. But I can tell you I've got one who's in control, and his name is Jesus. And being victorious doesn't mean you're not does not mean you're perfect, but it means nothing will control you except Jesus Christ. Amen. Would you bow your heads with me online and those of you in the parking lot? Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we are so grateful for this moment. Grateful that you are exposing the wiles of the enemy and all of his efforts. We know that we are victorious, and today we choose that victory in you. Help us to have the courage to be able to go in places in our lives that we simply are afraid to go. Help us to be the men and women you've called us to be. Help us to have people to be people of hope. Truly help us to navigate through this season that 20 2020 and 2021 that we had never had imagined. But you warned us a long time ago. You declared these are the things that are coming our way. Would you prepare us to be your church today? Help us as we move forward and to be able to implement the things that we're going to unfold in the next couple of weeks. I pray this, believing that you will bless every individual, either online or in this parking lot, and they truly can experience the freedom that comes in following you. I pray this all in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen.